Good afternoon and welcome to The Lunchroom, sponsored by Navita Designs, powered by Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited. And we are live on Radio Caribbean International for Thursday, November the 14th, day number 318 of the year 2019. And this is show number 177. I'm your host, Calix George Jr., and thank you for joining us. And in addition to radio, you can listen to us as well live on our website, rcisaintlucia.com, as well as our Facebook Live feed is up and running, and that's on the official page of Radio Caribbean International. Please like and share that as well with your friends. Now, a bit of a program change here. Yesterday, I indicated that my guest was supposed to have been Mr. Sean Edward, but unfortunately, he can't make it into the lunchroom today. So instead, for our dish of the day, I'll be speaking over the phone with Mrs. Mauricia Thomas-Francis, who is the chair of the National Awards Committee for the Independence Awards. So we'll be speaking to her about how you can, in fact, nominate individuals. And as well, we're going to speak about what's going on down in St. Lucia's Peters on the World Heritage Site. Also, visa-free access to the U.S. How's that promise coming along as a Jamaican minister makes a similar claim? And hopefully we'll also get a chance to discuss the new St. Jude Hospital wing and how that has certain implications for development. Now, birthday wishes for November the 14th go out to engineer Mr. Thomas Walcott. Happy birthday also to Miss Jasmara Jeremy, Miss Mary Edward, and Mr. Christopher Gibbs. And of course, if you'd like to send birthday wishes, you can do so via lunchroom at RCI St. Lucia. Just hit us a note and we will oblige. And some notable persons born today include on November the 14th, and they include Prince Charles. And he's the heir to the British throne, India's first Prime Minister, Jawaharlal Nehru, also former U.S. Secretary of State, Condi Rice, as well as French painter Claude Monet, and Canadian physician Frederick Banting. And he won a Nobel Prize way back in 1923 for co-discovering insulin. And, of course, today is World Diabetes Day, and some notable events which happened on the 14th include, back in 1532, a secret wedding, and that's between none other than the English Tudor king, Henry VIII, and he secretly marries Anne Boleyn, although they were officially married the following January. It's also the publication day for Moby Dick, and that novel, which is very well known around the world, about that whale, and it's by Herman Melville, and that came out in 1851. In 1908, Albert Einstein presents his quantum theory of light. And in 1922, the British Broadcasting Company begins radio service in the United Kingdom for the first time. And just before we head to the dish of the day, a note of condolence to the family of Mr. Dudley Simmons, who has passed. We wish to extend our sympathy and condolences to his wife, daughters, grandchildren, his sisters, and the entire Simmons family at this very difficult time. May he rest in peace. And now we move to our dish of the day. The Daily Dish is brought to you with the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
Come get your tiles. We have tiles. We have tiles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cars, we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cars, we are the boss.
We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bosses Jugros Delay, and Clark Street in VA4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939.
Tiles Plus.
Serving now, The Daily Dish.
And welcome back to The Lunchroom on Radio Caribbean International. Again, I'm your host, Calix George Jr. And Independence 41 is not too far away. It's just about 3 months off, indeed. And as is customary, there is going to be the National Awards, and that'll be presented to individuals who have made a sterling contribution to the country's national development. And I am pleased to have over the phone the chair of the National Awards Committee, Independent Senator Mrs. Mauricia Thomas-Francis, who will be expounding on how St. Lucians, the broader public, can participate in nominating individuals for national awards. Mrs. Thomas, you with us?
Yes, I am there. Good afternoon, Calix. Good afternoon, viewers and listeners. Calix, thank you so very much for affording me the opportunity to promote the 2020 National Independence Awards.
Indeed, it is our pleasure. This is a new responsibility to you, I do believe, but certainly a responsibility you will handle with ease, being the new chair of the committee.
No, I'm not the new chair. As a matter of fact, this is my third year serving in the capacity as chair of the committee.
I was not even aware. Oh, boy.
You were not even aware. Well, now you know, Calix.
Very well, then. So tell us about what
Calix,
is the...
I just want to let listeners and viewers know that nominations were open during the month of October 2019.
Right.
And as usual, we are kindly inviting all citizens to take time out to nominate deserving citizens who reside in St. Lucia and in the diaspora for special recognition as required on the National Honors and Awards Act. Of course, the Act provides for the granting of awards to citizens of St. Lucia and other persons for distinguished, outstanding, or meritorious services or achievements or for gallantry and related matters which have benefited St. Lucia and St. Lucians in a significant way, as you yourself mentioned. As we are all aware, we have in all our communities persons who have gone and continue to go over and above the call of duty to serve with distinction and high merit. And thus, these people deserve national recognition and acclaim. Over the years, numerous well-deserving sons and daughters of our soil have been so honored. And we wish to take this opportunity to thank everyone who have participated in the nomination process from inception. We also take this opportunity to thank and congratulate all our past awardees. Last year, due to our committee's active PR, we received a significant and unprecedented number of top quality nominations. However, since we are constrained by quotas, which I will detail in a minute, we were only able to select the best. Of course, we again thank all persons who obliged and followed the process correctly, thus affording the committee the opportunity to select the best among numerous distinguished citizens. I just want to say here that there is still an opportunity for those nominations which did not make the final list to be resubmitted this time around. And we look forward to receiving these as well as several others.
Now,
yes?
Now, could you tell us about what is the timetable? What is the deadline for submission?
Yeah, the deadline for submission is the 6th of December, 2019.
Okay, so there's not much time left.
Indeed. Yeah. So there is still some time left. It's not a lot of time, but there is still some time, 6th of December.
And how does one get at the application form? What's the process for that?
Well, the process, in terms of the application forms, we have actually placed application nomination forms in the post offices along the island, sub-post offices, constituency council offices, the local library, and at the Prime Minister's office. They can also access on the website at governorgeneral.gov.lc/awards. And, of course, they can also contact any of the members of our committee such that we can guide them as to where to get these. And completed nomination forms must be sent to the Secretary of the Office of the Prime Minister, Graham Louisie Administrative Building, Waterfront Castries, or made online at recognition.gov.lc. Calix, if you permit me, at this time, I will just like to share the various categories of awards.
Please, yes.
Yes, so first of all, we have the St. Lucia Cross, and these are three awards given in any one year to persons who have rendered distinguished and outstanding service of national importance to St. Lucia. Of course, we also consider honorary awards, and these are bestowed on persons who are not nationals, but as well as persons who have provided outstanding service to St. Lucia as a nation. And in that category, we at any one time must not have more than 25 awardees.
That's what St. Lucia crossed.
When I said 25, we're not supposed to have 25 surviving ones at any one time.
Okay.
Yeah? We have the St. Lucia Medal of Honor, gold, and that's bestowed upon St. Lucians who have rendered eminent service of national importance for acts of conspicuous courage in circumstances of extreme peril. And again, we have a quota of 3 annually. We have a silver category, another 3 in the silver category, bestowed upon persons who have rendered eminent service of national importance for acts of bravery in hazardous circumstances. And the other category, the St. Lucia Medal of Merit, we have 3 in gold, 3 in silver, and that's an annual quota. And that's bestowed upon persons who have performed long and meritorious services in the arts, literature, science, or other such fields in St. Lucia. The other category, St. Lucia L'Epitor, gold, silver, and bronze. We award 3 in each category annually again. And that's for persons who have performed long and meritorious services to St. Lucia, tending to promote loyal public service, national welfare, or to inculcate and strengthen community spirit. Our National Service Cross, and that's awarded to 2 police officers not below the rank of deputy, and 2 fire officers not below the rank of deputy chief. And finally, National Service Medal awarded to 4 members of the Royal St. Lucia Police Force, Fire Service, Correctional Service, and Cadet Corps. So maximum 4 annually. So these are the categories.
Right. And you said that the only one that has an overall cap quota is the St. Lucia Cross. And you said you indicated that the St. Lucia Cross has an overall quota. They can only be 25 at any one time alive.
At any one time. That is correct. But annually, we award 3 deserving St. Lucians.
Right. So what is the, once the individuals have been nominated, could you just tell us what the process is like? How are individuals selected?
Yeah. The nominations are sent to the committee via the Prime Minister's office, and the committee would sit down and go through each nomination to ensure that the nominations meet the criteria. And when we talk about criteria, all nominations must be made on the prescribed form, and all submissions must provide justification for the award proposed. They must bear the name and signature of the individual making the submission, and both name and signature must be legible. Nomination forms must be completed in their entirety. Sometimes you receive good nominations, however, the forms are not completed properly. They are not signed at times. And the signatures, if they are signed, sometimes the signatures and the names are not legible. So we want citizens to pay particular attention to that.
Right. And you indicated that there's somebody, the secretary to the committee, is that office available to individuals just to make sure that they've properly gone through their forms and have all the relevant information?
Yeah, the secretary to the committee is Mrs. Irene Sankwa, who is the acting permanent secretary in the Prime Minister's office.
Okay, so yeah. So her office would then be responsible for vetting, just making sure that things are in order.
For receiving,
but they won't be able to advise.
But then all of us as committee members, there are 7 members of the committee, will all be responsible for going through the nominations to make sure that they are according to the criteria set.
Right.
No one person does it, but we do it collectively.
Right, and then from your committee, I suppose the recommendations are then forwarded?
Then forwarded to the Prime Minister and then to the Governor General's office.
Okay, so
for final consideration.
For final consideration.
Yes.
Now, is there a master list available at all so that if you want to nominate somebody and you don't want to nominate somebody who may have already been nominated, so to speak, is there a list of all those awardees over the years?
There is a master list. I am not sure as we speak whether that master list has been made public, but that master list is held by the committee. And I guess one can always find out via the office of the secretary of the committee. But we do have a master list.
Right.
Calix, if I may just expound on the criteria, I just want to let citizens know that in stating the justification for the award, a statement of service rendered must be provided to reflect full details of the national interest performed by the nominee, and in their opinion, they must state clearly the quality of that performance. All facts must be stated clearly and concisely. They must state whether the service was performed in or outside of St. Lucia, and whether the nominee has ever been rewarded or recognition or recognized for any award of that nature previously. Of course, if they don't have that information, that of course would be the job of the committee to ensure that we go through the list to make sure that they have not received any award of that nature previously. If applicable, the names and addresses of any beneficiaries must be provided in terms of the services provided by the nominee. And I also want citizens to note that simply... Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I also want citizens to note that simply providing a curriculum vitae is not sufficient. Nominations submitted must state, like I said, services rendered, and if they are not provided in the correct fashion, then we will not consider those nominations.
Now, is it possible that you can nominate more than one individual? Is that...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, yes.
And do you have to state...
I just want citizens to know that any individual can submit a nomination. Any individual can submit a nomination or nominations. Some people have the notion that it's only organizations that are required to submit nominations, and the answer to that is no. Any organization or any individual can submit a nomination or can submit nominations.
Now, the person who is nominating, must you state exactly what award you are nominating for?
That is correct. The nomination form provides a section under Section 6. It provides the various categories of award, and one must select what category of award is actually being proposed.
So can you nominate, just for argument's sake, can you actually nominate an individual for two levels of awards in the event that is not... they don't receive, maybe say, the St. Lucia Medal of Merit Gold, that they receive a St. Lucia Medal of Merit Silver?
That is not how it is done. Mm-hmm. Based on the contribution that the individual has made, one category has to be selected. One category, whether gold, silver, or bronze.
Okay.
Yeah?
Right. Very well, then. So anything else you'd like to just point out? I mean, beyond, of course, the fact that you can get this information online, you said, at the libraries,
online,
at post offices.
I just want to add that, as usual, all awardees will be announced during the Independence 2020 celebrations on the 26th of February. And the investiture ceremony will take place subsequently during the month of February.
Right, February 2020.
Well, 2020.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Mauricia Thomas-Francis, the chair of the National Awards Committee for the past 3 years. I wasn't aware of that. Indeed, for enlightening us as to the upcoming National Awards for 2020 for Independence 41.
Yeah, Calix, I just want to once again thank you immensely and thank the listeners and viewers for this opportunity, and also to say that we are looking forward to receiving even more nominations this year. And when we say more, we want to also highlight top quality nominations. On behalf of the entire committee, I take this opportunity to thank all of you. Thank you so much, and look forward to receiving these in due course.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much.
And that was our dish of the day. And when we come back, we'll probably be taking a very short note, and then we'll be heading to the weather.
This has been The Daily Dish.
Plus. Come get your style. We have style. We have styles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bosse Jugros Delay, and Clark Street in J4.
telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Sales Plus.
And welcome back to the lunchroom. Of course, we're going to have to take a break in a little bit for our weather news. But just to touch on a few things that we did want to discuss, which is coming up. This story out of Jamaica. A minister promises visa-free travel to the United States within a decade. And that's coming out of the Jamaica Gleaner. And it reads as follows. Amid speculation over the visa revocations of two senior parliamentarians, Justice Minister Delroy Chuck has blamed the People's National Party, PNP, for the country's travel troubles. Chuck, Member of Parliament for Northeast St. Andrew, promised that economic advances under the ruling Jamaica Labour Party, JLP, would eliminate the deterrence to visa-free travel within a decade. Sink it into the PNP heads that under this Andrew Holness government, we are achieving and we have more to achieve, Chuck said at a JLP Area Council 1 meeting at Mona High School yesterday, mentioning that over the next 7 years, the government wants to build more than 20,000 houses per year. Quote, "We want every single Jamaican to have shelter over their heads, to live in a way that they can be happy and proud of, so people can live and have a title so that they can pass on to their children. And when that happens, you know, all the Americans will say, you don't need visas to come to America. We soon get rid of visa because other countries of the world will say, you are so strong, you don't need visa. That's what happens to countries who are doing well." Chuck said citizens of countries such as Singapore hardly ever require visas for travel. And that's a very interesting situation there coming out of Jamaica. With an attempt there by Justice Minister trying to spin the whole situation of the visa revocations, which occurred in the case of two senior parliamentarians, and indicating again that Jamaicans will no longer need visas within a decade. Of course, I think we've heard a similar promise right here in St. Lucia. Of course, we don't know how that is all going to pan out. Visas are used quite a bit by the United States, of course, to ensure that they can control individuals and countries where you have the tendency for these individuals to want to migrate en masse to the United States. So, again, another promise coming from another Caribbean politician. At this point in time, we're going to take our weather break, and when we come back, we'll continue. We'll hopefully open up the lines as well to take your calls. And we will also be discussing the whole issue of what's happening down at the Pitos.
Christmas.
Yes, it's that time again. Navita Designs, now housed at Rayner Construction and Industrial Products Limited, Vite Boutte, is all stocked and ready to offer you the most unique and elegant Christmas decor for any space. Whether it's white Christmas, red and white peppermint, multicolored candy, or the more contemporary, elegant combinations, we've got it. Don't forget that small accent pieces goes a long way to give that wow effect. And what says Christmas more than the act of giving? So remember to pick up all your gift wrapping essentials and Christmas stockings to bring good cheer. At Navita Designs, we do the creative thinking for you. Visit us at our new showroom in Vite Boutte on the John Compton Highway or call us at 450-7246. Navita Designs Christmas Collection, sponsored by Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited. Let the magic begin.
Fritas, Fritas, come and get your Fritas here. We're giving them away at Island Style. Tell them that.
So are you mad? What you mean, Fritas?
Well, madam, for every 100 tiles you buy at our regular price at Island Style, we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tiles free.
Really?
And to be honest, yeah, we've probably gone a little mad.
Wow, that's a deal. And good timing too. So I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas. And look how nice those tiles are.
Free tiles, ceramic tiles, porcelain tiles, all tiles, no exception. Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Cass Trees, and La Tony, View 4. Call 452-450 or 453-TILE.
Attention. Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shimari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264 or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win Promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
It is the 14th of November, 2019. The latest weather report is as of 12 noon today. The forecasters this hour, Venantius Descott and Hyacinthia Camille. The present weather at Huronera and at George Charles is partly cloudy. Present temperature at Huronera, 30 degrees Celsius or 86 degrees Fahrenheit. And last night's minimum temperature at Huronera was 26 degrees Celsius or 79 degrees Fahrenheit. The wind at Huronera is blowing from the east at 20 miles per hour or 17 kilometers. After a 24-hour period ended at 8 a.m., there was only a trace of rainfall recorded at Huronera. At George Charles, 9.5 millimeters of rainfall was recorded. The total rainfall for the month of November thus far, 90.4 millimeters at Huronera and 55.9 millimeters at George Charles. Sunset today, 27 before 6, sunrise in the morning, 4 minutes after 6. The forecast for St. Lucia valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing between the northeast and the east near 18 miles per hour or 30 kilometers, becoming lighter at times. The weather, partly cloudy to cloudy at times with some scattered showers. A recap of the forecast for St. Lucia valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing between the northeast and the east near 18 miles per hour or 30 kilometers, becoming lighter at times. The weather, partly cloudy to cloudy at times with some scattered showers. Marine forecast for seas in a 25-mile or 40-kilometer radius from St. Lucia. High tide for the Castries Harbor at 17 after 4 this afternoon and the low tide at 19 after 11 tonight. And for the VFOB, the high tide will be at 24 after 5 this afternoon and the low tide will be at 24 minutes before 1 in the morning. The seas are moderate. The waves are 4 to 6 feet. That's the same as 1.2 to 1.8 meters in open waters. Want to say hi to fishermen out there at sea right now. They normally tune in to get a sense of the marine forecast, and that is good. That is great news. Have a wonderful one, guys, and be safe out there. The forecast for the Lesser Antilles, partly cloudy to cloudy at times with some scattered showers. And our tropical weather outlook, scattered showers embedded in a moderate easterly wind flow will occasionally drift westward across the eastern Caribbean region during the next 24 hours. And a tropical wave located several hundred miles to the east of the Windward Islands is moving westward near 15 miles per hour or 24 kilometers. As far as tropical cyclone formation, we are not expecting any of those to develop over the tropical Atlantic for the next 5 days at least. So let's just recap again. The tropical weather outlook. Scattered showers embedded in a moderate easterly wind flow will occasionally drift westward across the region, across the eastern Caribbean region during the next 24 hours. And there's a tropical wave which is located several hundred miles to the east of the Windward Islands, which is moving westward near 15 miles per hour or 24 kilometers. But we are not expecting any tropical cyclone formation over the tropical Atlantic for the next 5 days at least. That is the official weather report. Thank you very much, Venantius and Hyacinthia, for the update at this hour. Join us again in the morning at around 6:30. Our next official report from the Met Service is due on the station. The weather was made possible by Island Style Thailand Bath, Battery World Plus, Caribbean Metals, and Beacon Insurance.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
best free tiles. Come and get your free tiles here. We're giving them away at Island Style, Thailand Bat.
So, are you mad? What you mean free tiles?
Well, madam, for every 100 tiles you buy at our regular price at Island Style, we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tiles free.
Really?
And to be honest, yeah, we've probably gone a little mad.
Wow. That's a deal. And good timing too. So, I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas. And look how nice those tiles are.
Free tiles, free tiles. Ceramic tiles, porcelain tiles, all tiles. No exception. Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Castries, and Latoni, View 4. Or call 452-450 or 453. Tile.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shimari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-226. 4450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win Promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
And welcome back to the lunchroom. Thanks for sticking with us here on Radio Caribbean International. Of course, we're sponsored by Navita Designs, and that's powered by Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited. And you can, of course, check them out at Vidbute. Now, of course, some discussion already starting in our WhatsApp group regarding certain individuals who should be getting an award. And somebody's pointing about the guy who directs traffic at the bottom corner of the concrete road in Union. I think they're referring to just near the zoo. There's a very retired gentleman, I believe, who is always there making sure at that very dangerous corner, whether it's raining or sun is blazing, he is down there ensuring that people know whether there's an oncoming vehicle. And, of course, he does that free of charge. And so certainly that's a recommendation already coming out there from one of our lunchtime listeners or viewers. So definitely thank you very much for continuing to listen. And if you want to call in as well, you can do so at this time. The number is 452-3046, 452-3046. Maybe you have any suggestions as to individuals who should be getting awards in the 2020 National Awards coming up very soon. Now, I do want to speak about the issue of the PTORs. And I think everybody knows that whenever we advertise St. Lucia, we proudly promote our natural beauty, our greenery, our rainforests, what is simply beautiful St. Lucia. And I think there's no doubt that one of the pinnacles or the pinnacles of that beauty are St. Lucia's PTORs. Other islands are, in fact, jealous of these cones, these volcanic cones, so much so that they even sometimes use them in their own promotions. I must tell you, I remember going attending the World Expo back in the year 2000 in Hanover, Germany, and there was a booth there for Jamaica, and Jamaica was advertising itself with lovely images of the PTORs on their pavilion, on their booth. So the PTORs are certainly one of our greatest assets in terms of natural assets. In the past, they were called the Sugarloaf Mountains. They've always been revered for many, many centuries. In fact, back in 1987, there was an OAS, Organization of American States, funded study, which had, in fact, recommended the establishment of a national park for the PTORs area. Of course, since then, we saw what would some people may consider a slow degrading of the asset in the, to the extent that we saw in Jalousie, the Jalousie estate that was in fact developed as a high-end hotel resort. Of course, it has since been redeveloped, sold, and it's still certainly one of the areas where you find very high-value real estate. So no doubt about it, the sheer beauty of the space of the Peters also means that it is facing quite a lot of pressure in terms of development. And this is nothing new. We've seen this for quite some time. We even heard at one point in time of a suggestion to put trams, an aerial tram, going up to the top of the Peters. So lots of different ideas. Some of them are less sanguine than others. But back in about 2004, we finally got recognition, and that is through UNESCO, the UN agency responsible for science, culture, and heritage, through their World Heritage Committee. And in fact, we were listed as a World Heritage Site. And that, of course, is a very auspicious recognition. We were inscripted back, I think, in June of 2004. But that in itself was not an easy process. And it took quite a bit of work. It took quite a bit of convincing of the World Heritage Committee as well that this area should, in fact, be listed. Because what we have is not a pure national park, as you can rightfully appreciate. It's what is known as a Peters Management Area. So within this 2,900-hectare site south of the town of Soufré, we have a number of different assets, both marine and terrestrial. Of course, the Peters being the lead ones, but of course there are other areas, inclusive of the Sulphur Springs, which is also part of this Peter Management Area World Heritage Site. And we got listed, and we very much proudly promote the use of the Peters in nearly every single ad of St. Lucia. You will be seeing the Peters. It has great meaning to St. Lucian pride. We just heard it a little while ago, even in the name of awards, the Le Peter Medal. You look at ads all over the place, and they have the Peters on them. And so I think we all recognize that it is a critical national asset. The question is, though, of course, how do you manage those assets to ensure that you keep within the requirements of organizations like UNESCO and its World Heritage Committee? There were a number of developments which have obviously given scares to these agencies in terms of the potential for our site to be delisted. And, of course, remember, we are inscribed. We were listed on the basis of natural attributes, natural beauty. So we weren't listed on the basis of beautiful hotels within the site or villas, the quality of the villas within the site. No, it's about natural beauty and natural assets and the protection of those therein, both flora and fauna. And so there was, in fact, a study done, which is known as a limits of acceptable change study. And that study was, in fact, done back, I think, in 2013, because there were concerns about developments such as villas as well on Peter Meter, as well as the Freedom Bay project, which was being developed at Malgratut. And that study was done, and there were recommendations, again, as to how much you can actually develop that site with respect to allowing for things like hotels and real estate and that sort of thing. Now, within the Peters Management Area, there are specific areas known as no-build zones. So in other words, you cannot go and build a house or a villa or a hotel or a commercial building within those zones. So in other words, if somebody said that they wanted to go build a restaurant at the top of Piti Pito, you know, that idea would not run because it's actually considered a no-build zone. And likewise, in the case of Gopito, it is also a no-build zone. So that being said, within that context, we also have the issue within the Peters Management Area that not all of the land is owned by the state. Some of the lands were actually owned by private individuals, and they have sold lands to other individuals as time has gone by. And it appears that a wealthy Canadian individual has purchased land or property on the southern end of Gopito. Now, I think we're talking about an estate in the region of about 90 acres. However, as far as I'm aware, for the most part, that land is within the no-build zone. And so we are now seeing pictures, images coming out on social media. We're seeing and we're hearing suggestions coming out of what is going on with respect to that location on the southern side of Gopito. It's at an area called Osdivoyne. Very, very lovely area. I believe there is some type of activity which is allowed within the Peto's management area to the extent that you're allowed to do campsites or you're allowed to do trails, that sort of thing. But certainly no heavy structures or concrete structures, as the case may be. And so right now, as from what I've understood, and we have to ask the questions, therefore, has the Development Control Authority approved an application for a villa on Gopito within the no-build zone? And was the decision done unilaterally by the chair of the board of the Development Control Authority? And was that decision taken contrary to the recommendations of the Peto's Management Area Advisory Committee, which is known as the PMAC, which is established under the Physical Planning Act of 2001? And was that decision also taken contrary to the recommendations of the Technical Committee of the Development Control Authority? Because the reality is that things like that, decisions like that, have very severe consequences to our listing as a World Heritage Site. And we would like to believe and we would like to know that the powers, the authorities that are vested to protect and to ensure that development is done in within the law are in fact doing what they are supposed to be doing. So if an individual has purchased a property, no doubt about it, that we all have the right to purchase property. But the reality is, if there are restrictions on that property, can that developer go ahead, that individual who owns that property, go ahead and do whatever they want on that property? No, that's the reality. That's why we have planning laws. That's why we have land use laws or physical plans. That's why we even have a Planning Act and a Development Control Authority. Now, clearly, the intent is that this area, the no-build zone in particular, which includes the two Petos and that ridge that runs between them, which is known as the Peto-Mittal Ridge, are in fact no-build zones. And so therefore, are we going to simply allow for an individual to come to build a villa, which I understand is supposed to accommodate somewhere in the region of 20 persons? So certainly very, very, very concerning situations. And of course, I would love to be wrong about this, but we were only asking the questions so that maybe we can get some clarity from the Development Control Authority and the relevant individuals and agencies as to what is going on there. Because the risk that we run is that you do not want to be in a situation where you are delisted. You do not want to be in a situation where you are first put on a blacklist and then, or an endangered list, and then lead to a further delisting. It wouldn't look good for a country like St. Lucia, which has prided itself so long on its Petos, to then take that step to simply lose it frivolously away on the basis of an individual wanting to build a villa. The whole idea of these spaces is that they are in fact commons. They are public commons for the good of everyone. And there is indeed a need for protection of these properties. Now, the ideal would be that the government would go in and would actually purchase those lands within the no-build zones. But it seems as if we're more interested in purchasing lands for touristic development and acquiring lands for even embassies, it would appear, instead of acquiring lands to ensure the conservation of natural and heritage assets within the state. These things do have a value. There's no doubt about it, because every single ad you see out there, every single way you promote yourself is using those PTORs. And it means, therefore, that they need to be protected. Now, of course, if you'd like to call in, we only have about 5 minutes left in the show, and you can do so. And the number is 452-3046, 452-3046, as well as 724-0008. That is our number on WhatsApp. Now, also of concern is what is going on the other side of, on the northern side of St. Lucia, with respect to the Cabot Links Golf Course. Of course, there's been a very long-standing desire, it would appear, for the construction of a golf course in that area of Cabot State. There was an attempt back in about 2006, 2005 to 2006, 2007, for the construction of the Raffles Golf Course up at that area known as Point Hardy. It's a very lovely area, 350 acres of land along the coast, about 3.5 kilometers of coastline, lots of Queen's Chain as well in that area. But of course, as of now, it's also an area that has archaeological as well as botanical value. There's some very unique flora, in particular areas like Cactus Valley, which are there. Now, we are, of course, certainly supporting development. The question is, how do you develop sustainably? How do you ensure that all parties are, in fact, on board? And by all parties, I mean you have stakeholders, you have current users, you have residents, you have individuals who are using the property already. How are their interests going to be protected? We have a call coming in. Let's take this call. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today? Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
The law, colleague.
The law?
The law, actually. The police.
Okay.
Something that baffles me out of my wits. This gentleman there who was shot on the run, that is the what's his name now?
Mad Max.
Mad Max, mm-hmm. Yes. I cannot believe my ears. I think I have a very good listening capacity here, and I am hearing that this gentleman was shot as a result of him attempting to pull some kind of a thing from his waist. Whether he was posing as a result to the police, we don't know that, I don't know. But I am hearing that this individual was shot in trying to defend or to attack the law. Now, here is a thing from the police saying that this individual, the weapon that was used is not disclosed to the public as yet. Can you believe this? You have the man, he is dead, he had a weapon in his possession, and you can't tell the public what that weapon is. Mr. Police Commissioner, you must be mad. You're loco, you're crazy. I don't want to say anything else, to use another word, but if that is the case, I hold you responsible for the illegal killing of this individual. You hear me? You can't tell me that you have this individual. I don't want to be repetitious, but tell the police, tell the people, where is the weapon? What was it? If you cannot do that, then you have breached the law and you are responsible for killing an individual illegally. You don't know whether the man had anything. And people must talk on this. Public, don't let this get away. Don't let the law is doing its job. We know that. Good policemen and so forth. But when you have done this stupefying act, what am I supposed to consider? What am I supposed to say?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, caller. Let's take another call very quickly. It seems that we've lost that call. Certainly, here it comes. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Hey, good afternoon.
Go ahead, caller.
You're speaking about criminal activity, criminal this, criminal that, right?
I'm not hearing you very clearly.
I heard you speak about criminal activities, criminal here, criminal there. But what about the new breed of criminals with the badges?
With the badges?
Right, with the badge.
Mm-hmm.
You hearing me?
Yes, go ahead.
What about them? What about them? What are we doing about them? What are we going to do about them?
Well, caller, it's a problem that we've had. I mean, when we look at situations like Operation Restore Confidence, when we look at extrajudicial killings, that's why we have to be so very careful with these things, you know. The whole idea of the police service or the police force is to protect and serve. And, of course, nobody, including the police, is above the law. So it certainly is, I know, of concern, because that is a very important aspect.
I'm cutting you short. Yeah. But then that's where the number one policing is supposed to start. That's where it's supposed to start from. You understand? Because you're talking about our borders are not secure and the criminals' activity, criminals doing this, criminals doing that. What about the Coast Guard officers? They themselves go and collect the drugs for the criminals. Well, what about that?
Well, Carla, it's very, we don't know, and we want to be very careful with making such accusations, but I understand what you're saying, that there is a belief out there that, in fact, a lot of the crime is, in some instances, may very well be facilitated by individuals who are supposed to be...
They are being facilitated by police officers. I can tell you, they are being facilitated by police officers. You're talking about spending money to do this, money to do that. You know what the number one money should be spending? Investigating these police officers. How could a police officer working on a $25,000 to $30,000 a year salary, how can he drive a $160,000 car, still have a $200,000 house, still have his children going to university paying $200,000 to send them? Where do they get all that money from? Not from the drug dealers they catch in the water and the drug they smuggling all over the place. That's where they're supposed to start from. Number one, start from the police. Who's policing the police?
Right. Financial intelligence is very important in such matters, Carla. You're very, very correct about it. There's no doubt about it. And that is why there must be, as you rightfully said, checks and balances, even with people who are supposed to be ensuring that we are protected. Yeah. And somebody was making the point that we seem to be very much outraged about the blue-collar crime. You know, the crimes that are committed within certain parts of St. Lucia by persons of a certain socioeconomic background, but we seem not to be very concerned about the white collar crime too.
Exactly.
And how that is the crime
which is the number one crime, which that's where crime starts from, that's where it stems from. Hera, listen to me. You believe one of the medical sellers from the ghetto, right? We speak about drug smuggling and drugs there. Them little fellas from inside the ghetto, huh? That seem long, they're selling 1 to 5 bags daily on a daily basis. Where these guys getting $20,000 to $30,000 to bring in the water for a Colombian or for a Spanish man or anything like that there? So where you feel you getting from?
Yep. Well, you're right, Carla. You're very correct about that.
So when we fighting crime, we need to fight crime from the top. We can't fight crime from the bottom and go up. We start from the top and come down. So we need to change our strategy of fighting crime. Let's start from the top and come down.
You want to go for the head? Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's exactly what we need to start doing. So when is that going to start? When are we going to stop talking about the ghetto is doing this, the ghetto is doing that, that one doing that over there, and that? When are we going to stop talking about this kind of stuff and start talking about we arrest a police officer for this, or we arrest a prime minister for this, or we arrest two officers for that? You know what I'm telling you?
Yes, Carla.
When are we going to start hearing this? When? Never. I don't think so. I don't think we'll ever hate if we continue speaking about the ghetto youth. Whose fault it is? Those above us.
Thanks very much, Carla. I think you've made your point very, very well. And let's see if you have any other persons who want to make a contribution, if you don't mind.
Thank you very much. Have a good day. Do enjoy yourself.
Thank you very much, Carla. And definitely, I think that Carla is spot on, that there is a full system. It's a full network, and quite often the concern is seeing the repercussions at the bottom, the outputs. But certainly there are people who are facilitating, and there are people who are benefiting from criminal activity. And they're certainly not those who are necessarily out there in the quote-unquote ghettos. They are found elsewhere, no doubt about that. I think we are pretty much out of time, unfortunately, here at the lunchroom. Tomorrow we'll be continuing our content. Today, as best as you can, this Thursday, I'm your host, Calix George Jr., saying goodbye.